Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
There's no shortage of LGBTQIA plus folks who want to tell their family building journeys. And I think that's because we don't really get platforms to tell our stories.
That was the voice of Jamie Kelton. Jamie is the producer and host of the Queer Family Podcast, formerly known as If These Ovaries Could Talk. Today, we're going to get to know Jamie and learn how she created a powerful platform for the LGBTQIA plus community to share their family building stories. I'm Dan Bolger with Progeny, and this is Infertility.
My name is Jamie Kelton. I am the host of the Queer Family Podcast, the show all about family, but with gay.
Yes, through her podcast, Jamie is in many ways leading the charge in helping those in the LGBTQIA plus community share their family stories. This is not only an entertaining podcast, but also an important and necessary one. Before she ever considered creating a podcast, she experienced her own difficult family building journey.
When my wife and I were talking about family building, the idea was that always that I would be the one to carry. And then right after we got married, my wife kind of changed her mind and said, you know what, I want to carry too. And so she was a little older, so we went with her first, and she got pregnant relatively quickly. We had our daughter, and then we thought that I was going to get pregnant just as quickly, and we were going to have two kids really close together, and that was always the plan. And that didn't turn out that way. We started right off the bat with IVF because we were running out of our donor sperm, and we wanted the kids to have the same donor. And so our fertility doctor said, well, you know what? We've got this vial. Let's use it, and let's just do IVF and get you pregnant, because I was still relatively young and there was no reason to think that it wouldn't work. So we did the IVF, did the transfer, didn't work. Did another transfer, didn't work. Switched it up, did IUI, had to go back to the sperm bank and bring our donor out of retirement because they had retired him. And sperm banks will do that, by the way. He agreed to come back. He came back. He produced more vials of sperm for us. We bought them and went forward with more fertility. I, in the end, ended up doing like over 20 IUIs, medicated, and 2 IVF retrievals, 3 transfers, all of which failed. And then finally, about 2.5 years into the journey, the doctor kept saying every single time there was a fail, okay, well, you know, I look at this scientifically. If it's not working, we have to change the formula a little bit. So blah, blah, blah. And he was starting to talk about egg donors, and he was starting to talk about using my wife and all this stuff. And I knew that didn't feel right. And I knew I could get pregnant just in my heart of hearts. I just had this feeling that I would be pregnant someday. And so finally I was sitting down after the last IVF fail, and I was devastated and not sure like how to move forward. And I thought, well, he keeps saying change the formula. Okay. Well, he's gone. He's out. I'm changing the formula. And I switched doctors and got this book called It's All About the Egg, started taking some supplements to like help my egg quality. I don't know if that helped it. I don't really know what it was that finally helped it, but I changed fertility doctors. I went somewhere else completely. When they looked at my file, it was like the largest stack of papers. The doctor looked at the papers and was like, I have never seen a file like this. This is crazy. And she was like, we're going to get you pregnant. I did an IUI with them. The first one failed, and the second one took.
It is rare for someone to go through that many medicated IUI cycles, and I'm very grateful that she found success fairly quickly after changing clinics. It's certainly not the case that you should change clinics the moment a cycle fails. There's a lot that a doctor can learn from a failed cycle, and you might have increased chances sticking with that same clinic. But in extreme circumstances like Jamie faced, a new doctor is definitely something worth pursuing. It took considerably more time and effort than Jamie anticipated, but together she and her wife had two children, and that was when she had the idea to create a podcast.
This podcast started 6 years ago. I started it with kind of a friend who was an acquaintance, Robin Hopkins. We knew we had at least enough lesbian mom friends to fill one season of a podcast. And I came to her with the idea because I had just gone through 2.5, almost 3 years of infertility to get pregnant with my second kid. My wife gave birth to our first. And as you do when you are experiencing infertility, I started to get a little lonely and I wanted to hear my story mirrored back to me. And I was looking in podcasts and I was trying to find stories like mine. And I found a lot of infertility podcasts, but I didn't find any stories of lesbians experiencing infertility. I didn't hear any queer stories at all. So I thought, well, somebody needs to create this. And so I just ended up creating it. But I went to my friend Robin and she was on board and she knew about podcasting. I knew nothing about it. And we started it then. And we started it thinking this will be a show about lesbian moms, right? And we titled it If These Ovaries Could Talk, because it was kind of a funny spin on an old movie from the 90s, If These Walls Could Talk. And there was like some lesbian storylines in that TV show, in that, like, it was like a special, like a TV special. Cher was in it. There were some stars in it. Anyway, it's kind of like a cult classic. So it was a spin off that. And then, you know, as the years went on, Robin and I, the show gained traction. Apparently a lot more queer people out there wanted to hear these queer baby making stories. And it started to pivot away from just how lesbians make babies, but the whole entire LGBTQIA+ community, how we make our families, how we show up in a world that was not necessarily designed for us. And it just really just kept spinning and spinning. And in the last 6 years, you know, not only has the podcast grown, also the world and the conversations surrounding identity has really, really changed in the world. And so as we were going on, Robin had to leave the show. She had to step down and I kept going. And I realized, you know, we have to do a better job of representing our entire community. And we're interviewing our entire community, but our name is totally off of what this show really is. So that's when I added the tagline, the Queer Families Podcast. And I brought in a new co-host for a season. I brought E. Bradshaw in, and we did that for a little while. And then E had to leave, and then I was back on my own again. And I just thought, you know what? It's time for a rebrand. Let's redo it completely, because the name is off-putting, especially for our trans brothers and sisters, our trans community. I shouldn't even say brothers and sisters, because our trans and non-binary and gender non-conforming community. The name is off-putting. You know, we don't want to talk about ovaries. If these ovaries, it's very gendered. So I decided to change it and I went through an entire rebrand. And I guess, and it was with the mission to uplift, highlight, normalize, and celebrate queer families in all of our beautiful and diverse identities.
On our show, Jamie speaks with people about their experiences, and we asked if she could share a conversation that has stood out to her recently.
I interviewed a woman named Bethany Grace Howe, who transitioned at the age of 47. And it was just a really interesting conversation to me, and it kind of like it opened my eyes to the many, many, many layers that are involved in transitions and in identity. Like, for instance, Bethany said that Bethany had no idea that she was trans her whole life. She was married, had a kid, had no inkling of an idea. And then one thing like triggered her at the age of 47, and she realized, oh my God, I'm trans. And that is actually not something that is foreign to a lot of trans folks. Like, you hear this narrative, this ongoing narrative, especially in media, where it's like, oh, they know they're trans when they're 3 years old. And that is a story. And that does happen with a lot of trans folks, but that's not across the board. There's a big percentage of folks who don't know it until they know it, which I just found really, really interesting. And then hearing about Bethany's parents, her daughter, and how I had her daughter on too, just talking about, you know, what life is like with her. She still calls her dad, which is interesting. And so that, I don't know, the daughter was really well spoken and such an advocate, and it was just a beautiful conversation.
As you see, these stories can be complex, something we're very familiar with on our show. And Jamie has found no shortage of guests excited to share.
We are extremely proud of the families we've made, and we've worked really hard to create them. And a lot of us want to tell our stories. And, you know, we need more visibility across it all, you know, to dispel a lot of the misinformation that is out there in the world and the ignorance. So a lot of our guests come from just listeners writing in or DMing on the social, and a little bit of it is outreach. You know, if there is somebody on social media who is a big influence in our community, who is also a parent, I will do some outreach there as well. And even, you know, with our stories, every single story is different. Even if it's the same exact situation, even if it's two lesbians who did reciprocal IVF and had a relatively easy, you know, fertility process, the stories are always very different because we're a very varied community.
Now, this is a show called This Is Infertility, and there's no community who needs information and support around fertility and family building more than the LGBTQIA community. So it's something that they talk about a lot on the Queer Family podcast as well.
The inequality in fertility care as pertains to the queer community is pretty big. We're really not thought of in the conversations around fertility care in the grand conversation by the ones who are making these decisions. For the most part, the LGBTQIA plus community is an afterthought when it comes to fertility care, which is funny because we are a main supporter of fertility care because most of us need help to make our families, right? So it's funny that we wouldn't be at the forefront of the decision-making and the conversation just from the get-go. So there's that, right? And for instance, and which is the case with infertility in any way, whether you're gay, straight, whatever, it's not... A lot of times we're all paying out of pocket here, and it's really not fair. Everybody deserves access to family building, fair family building, and across the board, whatever your identity is, it's not fair. We don't get full and complete access. And then also, especially when it comes to if you are a couple who both people do not have a uterus, it's even more insurmountable, because surrogacy is not covered at all, that process. And so, you know, these folks, you're talking $100,000 just from the start, you know, and that's a big, you know, am I going to buy a house or am I going to make my baby? That's like the decision that a lot of queer couples face, honestly. Actually, I had a guest actually say that, so that's not my quote. But it's really true. We have to factor in the cost when we think about our family building, which not everybody does until they get to the point where they realize, ooh, this isn't working, right? But the very first conversation we have about family building usually involves money and cost and what can we afford. And then that helps us decide what route we're going to take.
It's kind of an inherent problem here. For most of those in the LGBTQIA plus community, and for anyone who's trying to have a family as a single parent by choice, help is going to be needed. and yet the support can often be lacking. And while access isn't solved, there are still plenty of people who need better access to these resources, there are a lot of things moving in the right direction. When it comes to coverage for fertility treatment and support for adoption and other resources, of course, there's Progyny, the force behind this podcast. And when it comes to community, this is where Jamie and the Queer Family Podcast really shine.
It's become this like amazing, beautiful community. I really honestly didn't think this show was going to go past one season. I was just doing this as like a fun little side project, honestly, like as a healing, I think, because of the infertility I went through. And I had no idea the traction it would have. And then the, you know, because we have the listeners and then we have, you know, I have the social media accounts for the episodes and they're all very vocal and out there and supportive. And yeah, a big community has built up around it. And I think that just speaks to the fact that we in the queer community, we are looking for community. We are all about chosen family. We know really, we're really good at finding the chosen family that aligns with who we are, I guess. So yeah, there is a really strong community built up around the podcast. And it's a lot of times what keeps me going, even when it gets hard sometimes, because I'm like by myself talking into a microphone in many cases, making big decisions on my own and trying to figure out how to, you know, get brands to sponsor a queer conversation, which, you know what? You know, I probably don't have, it's not shocking, but that's not easy.
The Queer Family Podcast is a great resource for the queer community. But something that has caught Jamie by surprise of late is how many people outside of the LGBTQIA plus community have been engaging with the show.
I got an email from a person who is not a part of the queer community, but who's an avid listener of the show. And it was like such a kind and thoughtful email saying, you know, I'm not in the community, but I just want to let you know, I love your show. And I learn so much every time. And, you know, just beautiful, beautiful words. Right. So then I put out in an episode, I said, hey, I want to hear from, are there more allies listening? Are there people that are not queer listening to this show besides my mom? And, oh my God, I've gotten so many responses from allies, which has just been so heartwarming to hear. And just to know that this show, it's not just for the queer community, it's for everyone. And everybody can get something out of it and learn something and learn a bit about humanity and people. And yeah, I hear a lot from the listeners, which is nice.
We at Progyny are big fans of everything Jamie is doing with the Queer Family Podcast. And we were thrilled to hear when speaking with her that the feeling goes both ways.
I love Progyny. That's like the one good one. You know what I mean? We talk about Progyny all the time. If you're like one of the lucky few who happens to have an employer who has an insurance like Progyny, that's a huge topic of conversation. Like, because you're like so excited. No, mine was covered, you know? And it's like, wait, what? What? And we go deep into it. And you know, Progyny has taken our community into account. And that's like huge. Honestly, it's huge. And this Progyny is actually the only insurance I know of, the only one that's been talked about as like this inclusive insurance for our community. But yes, it comes up a lot. And I tell people to try to get their employers to get Progyny all the time. I don't even know how to go about that, but I tell people to do it.
Well, fortunately, we're here to help. If you want to talk to your employer about adding Progyny, we have everything you need to get started at progyny.com/talktohr. There, you can fill out a form, download some resources, and even enlist a Progyny person to help you in your cause. There's a lot of work that comes with running a podcast like the Queer Family Podcast, but Jamie is fully committed, and she has a lot in store for listeners coming up.
I'm planning a little mini-series where I might be partnering with an organization called Gender Cool I don't have it written down, but basically their mission is to kind of humanize and uplift and celebrate trans youth. And so they have a a large roster of trans champions, young individuals who kind of like do speeches and talk about their experiences. And so I'm hoping to do a little mini series with them in the new year where I just talk to some of these champions in a couple little mini episodes. So that'll be a fun little mini series that I'm really excited about, in the name of putting a face to these political debates that are going on and all the hateful rhetoric that is like spreading like wildfire through the world in regards to the trans community. I think one way to combat that is to tell the stories, have the people who it's really affecting tell their honest stories so people can see the humanity behind each person, right? We're talking about people. We're talking about lives. So that's something I'm hoping to do. And then I'm also hoping to do a live event with a woman named Mia Cooley. She's the founder of X-Hood. She's a champion for Black and Brown family building and helping the Black and Brown queer community. So I'm hoping that we can do a live event together where we just kind of discuss the intersectionalities in our own community and the privilege that comes, that goes along with the color of your skin, or the color of my skin, I should say, and how we can work to level the playing field, because that's a whole nother thing. So those are two things that I hope will come to fruition. I've been in talks and we're trying to figure things out.
We know Mia Cooley. She was in episode 159 of our show, which we'll link below. I want to thank Jamie Kelton for taking the time away from her show to share her story with us here on our show. As Jamie mentioned, the LGBTQIA+ community are a community who needs access to fertility and family building options. Basically, by definition, if you get your healthcare through an employer and are interested in learning how they can add Progyny, we have resources that can help you at progyny.com/talktohr. So head over there and take a look. And with that, I want to thank you for listening. If you want to connect with us, you can do so at Instagram at This Is Infertility Podcast. If you want to follow Progyny, you can do so at Progyny Inc. Of course, if you're listening on a podcast app, please leave a rating and review, as that's a huge deal for us. This Is Infertility is brought to you by Progyny. Please remember, this podcast is not intended to substitute for the personalized expert advice of your physician. I'm Dan Bolger, and this is Infertility.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.